Can everybody say amen? Say good morning to everyone. And how good and wonderful it is to be here this morning. God has been good to us once again. God has blessed us once again. God has given us mercy and grace once again. God has gave us His entire love to us once again. And so for that, we ought to be thankful. I know it's kind of warm in here this morning, but nevertheless, it's not as hot as hell will be. So fan on and cool yourself off and let us try to bring the Word of God to you. Amen. This morning from the verses that were read for your hearing from the 23rd Psalm, we're going to use verse number 1 there where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You because we know that without You, we would not be here. We know that without You, we would not even exist. We know that without You, none of us could be what we are today. And many of us, even though we're not what we want to be, Father, we're what You made us to be, and we can help to make ourselves better by living by Your Word, O Lord. Thank You this morning, Father, for this congregation, for the leadership here, the membership here, and for those who are here as visitors and guests this morning. We thank You also for them. We thank You this morning, Father, because You sent Your Son into this world to hang, to bleed, and to die on yonder's cross. And for this we are eternally grateful. As we move on into the next portion of our services, Lord, we pray that the portions that we have presented thus far have been found acceptable in Thy sight, and we pray also for the rest of these services. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, and bless those who are, especially those from the congregation who are sick this morning. And Father, we just pray for not only them, for their strength, but for their families, that they also may garner strength to help them get through whatever they're going through right now. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the husbands and the wives who are trying to raise their children in the face of storms and troubles each and every day. We pray for strength for them as well. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those that we call upon from time to time to render services to us. We pray, Father, that they would be there when we call upon them. We thank You this morning, Father, for each and every member here this morning, and ask Your continued blessings upon each and every one. Please continue to bless all of us. Be with those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, and be with those who shall take part in the remainder of the services. Watch over and keep them as well as their family, and thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all Your blessings. It is in Your Son Jesus' name that we continue to pray and ask everything. Let us all say amen. From that 23rd division of Psalm, once again, it is the first verse that we're going to be looking at. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Jesus is the great shepherd, and we are His sheep. But somebody might ask the question this morning, just why do we need a shepherd? All we need to do is but look at the world today, and we will find the answer. We are helpless, we are hopeless, and many are without purpose and direction. Most of us are familiar with today's text, that 23rd Psalm. But if you look at that very first verse there, the very first verse that says, "The Lord is my shepherd," the words of the psalmist confirms to us what we should already know, that the Lord is our shepherd. Then it tells us that I shall not want. What a great way to describe the shepherd of His sheep. He puts us in a position where we shall not want. What is a shepherd, though, we might ask the question? Well, a shepherd is one who was or is devoted to his sheep. His concern is that of caring for his flock. His concern is that of supplying them with all that they are in need of. His concern is that of their care and their well-being. He not only makes sure that they have ample food or fields in which to eat and places to rest, but He also watches out for predators who want to destroy His sheep. So, church, when the question arises as to who is our shepherd, We've just but simply looked at Psalms 23 and verse number 1, and we'll find our answer. So when that question comes up, just direct whoever asks you that question, direct them to Psalms 23 and verse 1. A shepherd is aware that his sheep belong to him, and he watches over each and every one of them. The Lord, being our shepherd, chose us to be his sheep, and we do have a purpose. Look at Jesus when he spoke in John chapter 15 and the verses number 16. He said, "You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Now we have to get it right with God in order to be as his sheep and petition the Father that he may give unto us what we ask him for. And I know that there are many folk in church and out of church folk who only call upon the Lord when they are in serious need of something. They don't know him when I'm not in need. When I'm not in need, I can take care of myself. But when you are in need, we need to call upon the Lord not only when we are in need, but when we're not in need. We need to just step back and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you because you have done so much for me. Thank you because you woke me up this morning. Not because I was able to get up on my own, but because you woke me up this morning. You sent grace to my bedside and watched over me while I slept and slumbered last night. But then you gently awakened me and I got up this morning." That's part of the job of the shepherd. He watches over his sheep. Then in John chapter 10 and verse number 29, look what Jesus said. He said, "My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now what does that tell me? That tells me that I am the only one who can take myself out of Jesus' hand. Isn't that right, church? No man can move me, but man can influence me, but he can't move me. I have to move myself. Jesus as our shepherd. And since we are his sheep, we are given to Jesus by God, and God is too powerful for man to take us away. We must achieve or make a choice to accept Christ or to reject him as our shepherd. When we choose him, we should not perish but have everlasting life, according to John 3 and verse number 16. The shepherd knows his sheep. Church, have you ever been on a farm? A farm is a good example. If you've ever been on a farm and you've been out, say, to the pasture with somebody, and you've seen all the cows out there, or you've been to the pig pen and you've seen all the pig in the pig pen, but yet that person who watches over those cows and those herds of pigs, they know their pigs. They know their cows. Well, Jesus knows the sheep just like we should know him. He knows us. The shepherd knows his sheep. He knows his sheep by name, according to Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8. The Bible says those who worship him, their names can be found in the book of life. Oh, in the book of life is where you want your name to be found, church. In the book of life presents you as a believer in the Lord or a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you find those who will not be worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ, their name may not or will not be in the book. The shepherd always knows where his sheep are. Oh yeah, I know you. Sometimes you get in your mind, you say, "I'm going to go here where nobody knows me." But Jesus knows where you are. If you are one of his, he knows where you are, and he knows all about what's going on. And I call that a great shepherd, for Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. He knows when we are in trouble and when we are in need of his attention and his help. Jesus already knows what we are in need of before we even ask of him. Have you ever heard someone when they're talking and they're speaking about an incident that happened, say, for instance, in their lives, and they'll tell you, they'll say that, "And then the way this thing was going, I got lucky, and God worked it out. And I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again because I need to remind myself every so often. The word luck and lucky are not in God's vocabulary. They are not God's helpers. They are not part of God's what He does for us. They are not in the Bible. God does not work on luck and lucky chances. The great shepherd of the sheep is in the saving and fixing business. He has already saved us from not only everybody else, but He has saved us from ourselves. In Romans chapter 5, in the verses number 8, while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Through His death on the cross, God showed His love for us through Jesus Christ. There was no luck involved. There was no lucky roll of the dice involved. He fixed us, and it was not a lucky break for, and it was not, as I said, a lucky break for us. It was the right time, according to Galatians 4 and the verses 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent His Son made of a woman made under the law. Therefore, it certainly was not luck. It was the right time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the verse is number 55, let me tell you what by saving us, what Christ did for us. He fixed us so that no longer death becomes a sting and no longer does the grave have a victory over us. Isn't that right, church? When we are His sheep, we therefore know His voice. And no, He does not call us in person. No, He does not send you a special delivery letter. No, He does not send you any kind of email or anything like that. We know Him. We know His voice by the Spirit, by His Word, and through what is known as our conscience. And some folks say, well, preacher, I'm not really sure if I have a conscience. Well, if there's something inside of you that when you are about to do wrong, it tells you that's wrong, you've got a conscience. When there's something inside of us that tells us you're not doing the right thing, then you've got a conscience. Everybody has got a conscience. Some of us may not want to use it or admit to having a conscience, but everybody has a conscience. We as the sheep, we have through our acceptance of Him and belief in Him, know that when the world tells us to go left, His Word tells us to go right. In verse number 14, turn over with me, if you will, to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, and look at verse number 14 of John chapter 10. It says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of them. See, He knows us, but we also know Him. Don't we, church? If you can't answer that, maybe you better take an inventory of yourself if you don't know Him. If you don't know who the good shepherd is, and if you're not one of His sheep, then you can't answer that in the affirmative. Then He lets us know just how close this relationship is. Look at verse number 15 of that same John chapter 10. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. If the words of this verse doesn't move us today, what will it take to move us, to get us to thinking about who is our shepherd and just what our shepherd means to us? If the words read in that text doesn't tell us of how great the love and care of the shepherd is toward us, what might you be thinking this morning? What might you be thinking? Now, history tells me that if you have not ran into trouble, oh, and I know there's some who say, I don't have any trouble. Oh, no. But if you haven't ran into trouble yet, I put that yet in there because you are going to run into trouble somewhere along your life, in your lifetime. Just hold on, for trouble has a way of finding us. As sheep, we are going to need the shepherd to guide us through some of that trouble. And somebody may say, well, preacher, how do you know about troubles? Well, because I've experienced some troubles in my life. And if you live just a little while, you're going to experience some troubles in your life.
And I know that troubles are going to come because Job wrote in Job 14 and verse number 1, man that is born of a woman is but a few days, but he's full of trouble. Oh, trouble will come and trouble will find you. There's no hiding from trouble. There's no hiding from trouble no matter where you go. We don't have to look for it. It will find us. So what are we to do? Well, look at John chapter 10 once again and look at verse number 27. The Bible gives us a clue. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. But I want you to note just one verse down. Verse number 28. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If you ever doubted whether Jesus and God the Father are one and the same, it tells you right there. Oh, we are the sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd. One day, and I don't know how long it's going to be, and I don't know when it's going to be, but one day, our lives are going to come to an end. One day when we no longer live where we live at now. And I don't mean that you will just get up and move, but you are going to move, but maybe not by your own strength will you move. We're going to return to where we came from. And if you don't know where you came from, you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verses number 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that one day, all of us are going to die. One day, and I don't know when, I'm going to die. One day, and I don't know when, you're going to die. But I tell you something, it's been planned that way. And there's no way of getting around death. And the one thing I like to let everybody know, that if you don't know the shepherd right now, you're going to be in for a rude awakening on the day of judgment or in the day of judgment. If your journey has caused you, the sheep, as the sheep, to roam away from the shepherd, I ask this question. What better time to return than now? What better time is there to return than now? This message is simply a reminder of whom we belong to. This message is simply a reminder today of whom we should be following. And I know that there are a lot of choices in this lifetime that we must make. There are choices about everything. There are choices of where you want to eat, where you want to live, how you want to get there, and what you're going to do when you do get there. But one thing you need to make a choice about this day is whom you're going to serve. And if you are not serving the shepherd, you must be serving someone else or something else. And if you're not serving the shepherd, your name may not be found in the book of life. If you're not serving the shepherd, who then are you going to serve? But I tell you something, when it comes to making those choices, there's only two. You choose heaven or you choose hell. That's the only two choices you have. And if you make the wrong choice, you're in, as I said, for a rude awakening. And if you make the right choice, if you choose the shepherd, you have a chance at everlasting life. But the wrong choice will give you eternal damnation. In Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse number 5, the Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And if that's all there is, just one, how can you split that up and get several out of that? No way can you split one into several. It's got to be one. It's just one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And the Lord is my shepherd. And if He is the one Lord, then He must also be that same one shepherd. Look at John chapter 10 once again. And look at verse 14 again. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. And I'm known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. and I lay down my life for my sheep. Oh, there's the good part. He has already laid down his life, and he has given us new life, if you will, and an opportunity to come to him. And I know there are those who say, well, what are my friends going to say if I come to the Lord? And I'm almost done, church. I had a short message this morning. I didn't want to put anybody to sleep. I know some of you might go to sleep anyway, but never mind. But if you don't know the Lord, you haven't made a choice to serve the Lord, then I need to ask just one question. Why not? Why not serve the Lord this morning? And I know there are many reasons that folk give. My friends won't like me anymore. Well, I'd rather have an unliking friend than an unloving God in the judgment day. My friends won't hang out with me no more. Find some new friends. My friends, they have fun, and I won't have any fun anymore. Well, fun is subjective. You can make fun sitting at home eating a bag of popcorn. So it's not all about your friends. It's about what you want your life in the everlasting to be. Oh, yeah. I know there are some things that keep us, many of us, back from serving the Lord righteously. I know there are some things that keep some of us on the edge all of the time. But one thing I do know, that there is no other Lord, there is no other shepherd, and we are His sheep. There is no other God that we can serve. Well, I know some of us like money, but money is not God. Money is not a God. It's good when you got it. Don't get me wrong, because I'm always wishing to get some. And I'm sure you wish to get some too, but that's not God. See, God owns money. God owns all of the ingredients that go into making money. Now, I know the government is in a situation now all about money. But I tell you something. God can fix any situation that He wants to. All we need to do is ask. You know, I've noticed something over the last few years anyway. The nation has become more of a praying nation. They might not be more of a believing nation, but they're more of a praying nation. I was so impressed just a couple of years ago when the governor in the state of Georgia declared that they all needed to pray for rain because their lakes were drying up. They all needed to pray that God will send rain down from heaven. But I tell you something, being impressed and praying only when you need to pray is not a good thing, because you need to pray all of the time. Somebody said this morning that the Bible says pray without ceasing. And I believe in praying without ceasing. You know, I tell you all the time, you pray for me and I'm going to pray for you. But even if you don't pray for me, I'm still going to pray for you just the same. Because I'm always in a praying mode. I believe in prayer. I believe that the Word of God ought to be sent back to them just the way we get it, letting them know, I thank you for sending me the Word of God. Every time I put a piece of food in my mouth, I want to just say, thank you, Lord, before I put it in my mouth. Thank you, Lord, for this. It may not be what I love to eat, but it's what I need to get full. You can't replace steak with bologna, but bologna will fill you up just the same. But then on the other hand, steak is tough and sometimes hard to chew. So you might be better off filling up on that bologna. But what I'm trying to say to you is God will make a way if you just but simply ask Him. God will give. Didn't Jesus say, if you ask my Father, He'll provide? Oh, God will provide. If you don't have what you need, He'll supply all your needs, according to Paul in Philippians. My God will supply all my needs. He may not supply all your wants, because we have some strange wants. Some of us want things that are not necessarily good for us. We want to win the lottery. And then the church won't see some of you no more when you win it. And some of you even split God out of your life if you win the lottery. Some of us want fine jewelry. But then all you're going to do with your fine jewelry is brag about it. And flaunt it in front of those who don't have any fine jewelry. We ask for things that sometimes doesn't even make sense to us. I want a Mercedes Benz. Why? What's wrong with your Toyota? I want this or I want that. I want a 71-inch screen TV, but the house won't support a 71-inch screen TV. It'll be bigger than the room. So we've got to be careful what we petition our God for. And we've got to remember that everything that you need will be supplied to you. And we've got to remember that when we ask God for something, we've got to ask Him in faith. Yes, Jesus is our great shepherd, the good shepherd, and we are His sheep. But we have to do something along with that. Some of us just want to rely on God. I'm just going to sit right down here and I'm just going to tell God what I want. No, you ask God. You ask Him for what your needs are. Because He already knows about it anyway. And if you ask Him, He just might give it to you. But if you ask Him for a check for $100,000, don't go to your mailbox tomorrow expecting to see it there because it just might not be there. But if you ask Him enough money to get you by so that you can survive, you might get a check like that a lot sooner than you get a $100,000 check. So how do I know this great shepherd? How do I become to know this good shepherd? How do I become to know that God is the shepherd that I want to serve and I want to be one of His sheep? Well, you come to Him by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you're one of those who have left the flock, well, sometimes we like to take vacation. If you're one of them who left the flock, one of those who've left the flock, you might ask God to forgive you of your shortcoming. Come forward and ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 882. 882. If you have it, let us sing.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit.